Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and now we turn to the Senate confirmation hearing for President Trump's nominee for Attorney General William Barr, which has been going on this morning. The big question so far in the hearing has been whether Barr will uphold the special counsel investigation into interference in the 2016 election. This stems in part from a red flag that was raised by a memo that Barr sent out some time ago, unsolicited, arguing against prosecuting Trump for obstruction of justice under pretty much any circumstances. Senator Lindsey Graham questioned Barr. Graham is the new chair of the Senate Judiciary Committee as of this month. And here's a one-minute exchange of Lindsey Graham questioning Barr on Robert Mueller.
Mueller, you say you've known Mueller a long time. Would you say you have a close relationship with Mr. Mueller?
I would say we were good friends.
Would you say that you understand him to be a fair-minded person?
Absolutely.
Do you trust him to be fair to the president and the country as a whole?
Yes.
When his report comes to you, will you share it with us as much as possible?
Consistent with the regulations and the law, yes.
Do you believe Mr. Mueller would be involved in a witch hunt against anybody?
I don't believe Mr. Mueller would be involved in a witch hunt.
Doesn't believe Robert Mueller would be involved in a witch hunt. Pretty interesting from William Barr at his confirmation hearing. Joining me now to recap what she's been hearing so far while we've been doing the show is Emily Bazelon, staff writer for the New York Times Magazine, co-host of Slate's Political Gabfest podcast, and the Truman Capote Fellow for Creative Writing and Law at the Yale Law School. Hi, Emily. Welcome back to WNYC.
Hi, Brian. Thanks for having me.
So is that the headline so far, that William Barr says Robert Mueller wouldn't engage in a witch hunt?
Yes, along with another line, on my watch, Bob will be allowed to finish, which means that Barr is planning to come into office and allow Robert Mueller to finish his investigation and to release a report, which, as you played in the clip, Barr is saying that Congress will be entitled to find out about. He did have a kind of caveat where he said, to the extent that regulations allow. But I think that senators will feel pretty reassured by that.
As of yesterday, when they released language from Barr's opening statement, it seemed to emphasize that he would let Mueller finish the investigation, but it seemed to leave open whether he would squelch certain aspects of it, which is a whole other way that he could act as Attorney General to protect Trump rather than to see that all the truth gets out by saying, no, this isn't going to be released publicly, that isn't going to be released publicly, citing whatever legal technicalities. How reassured were you that he's not intending to do that, if you could tell it all?
I mean, look, the proof will be in the pudding here, and what Barr actually does once he's Attorney General is what will matter. But Senator Patrick Leahy, who's a Democrat from Vermont, said, are you going to let the White House correct and spin a Mueller report before it's released publicly? Because, Giuliani, one of Trump's lawyers, has been talking about the White House editing that report. And Barr said no. He said that will not happen. So, if he allows for that kind of messing around with the report, he's going to be contradicting a promise that he made.
Let me play another clip. Here's another minute. And this is Senator Dianne Feinstein of California, who's the ranking Democrat on the Judiciary Committee, talking to William Barr.
Will you commit to no interference with the scope of the special counsel's investigation?
The scope of the special counsel's investigation is set by his charter and by the regulations, and I will ensure that those are maintained.
Will you commit to providing Mr. Mueller with the resources, funds, and time needed to complete his investigation?
Yes.
Will you commit to ensuring that special counsel Mueller is not terminated without good cause, consistent with department regulations?
Absolutely.
If Special Counsel Mueller makes any request, for instance, about the scope of his investigation or resources for his investigation, will you commit to notifying Congress if you deny that request?
I think the regulations require notification of Congress if there's a disagreement.
That's, again, William Barr, Attorney General nominee, with Dianne Feinstein, the ranking Democrat on the Senate Judiciary Committee. Emily Bazelon is with us, breaking down what's happened in these confirmation hearings so far. That didn't sound to me too much different from what we heard from Barr and Lindsey Graham, but there was a little legalese in there that I couldn't tell how many loopholes he was trying to open.
You know, yes, that's true. I mean, I think generally the tenor of this testimony is reassuring. It all sounds very judicious and sober. Yes, of course, I'm going to let this investigation finish. I think Bob Mueller is a fair-minded person. I'm not going to interfere. What's a little puzzling to me is squaring what Barr is saying now with this unsolicited memo that he wrote earlier, in which he was apoplectic in criticizing Mueller's examination of Trump and the Trump administration's conduct regarding Russia during the campaign and after. And, you know, you read that memo and you just feel like he thinks very poorly of Bob Mueller and is assuming the worst of him and of the whole investigation. That is just a really different tone than the tone he was striking this morning. And I'm not sure what distance he's traveled or what to make of that change.
And we have another clip that I think might address that. Here is Senator Patrick Leahy, Democrat from Vermont, questioning Barr. This might get to the issue that you just raised. Let's see.
You're also very critical but of the Russian probe. And I mean, I can't think of anything that would, in your memo, for example, that would jump out more for this president because of his commitment to it. And I ask that because some have said, on both sides, yeah, that it looked like a job application. And so that's what I want you to refer to.
Well, that's ludicrous. If I wanted the job and was going after the job, there are many more direct ways of me bringing myself to the president's attention than writing an 18-page legal memorandum.
So, Emily, can you explain what it was that Barr wrote, and do you understand his legal reasoning that the president couldn't or shouldn't be charged with obstruction of justice?
Yes. I mean, I think that Barr in this memo took a very strong stand in favor of what's sometimes called the unitary executive theory. And this is basically the idea that the president is the executive branch, and therefore there are things he can do, like ending an investigation, that he has the prerogative to do and that he cannot be charged for. That was the kind of set of conclusions and tone in Barr's memo. That's not mainstream legal thinking on this. And today, Barr seemed to back away from all of that. He said that if a president ended an investigation or gave out a pardon in order to absolve himself, that those things would be a crime. That is just different from what I got out of reading his memo. And so I don't think it was at all ludicrous for Patrick Leahy to ask Barr why he'd written the memo and if he was, in a sense, auditioning, bringing himself to Trump's attention by offering this very skeptical take on Mueller's investigation at that point.
But now here he is under oath at his confirmation hearing saying if Trump, for example, fired Comey to protect himself, Trump, from a criminal investigation, that could be obstruction of justice.
Right, exactly. I mean, there's sort of two views of Barr. One is that, yes, he's a Republican, but he's also a member of the legal establishment. And the legal establishment has coalesced around letting Mueller finish this investigation and allowing the country to learn his findings. You know, perhaps Barr wouldn't have allowed the full scope of the Mueller investigation had he been attorney general when it began. But in a sense, the horse is out of the barn. The other view of Barr, however, is that he has this transcendent view of presidential power, which is exactly what would appeal to President Trump and is particularly problematic with a president who has shown such little restraint, right? So it's one thing if you have a president who seems to be respecting a lot of the norms that have bound presidential power in the past, but we have a lot of evidence in the other direction this time. And so this is someone whose thinking seems to line up with a more expansive, unleashed presidency.
Because of the extreme situation that the country is in right now, with Trump and the Mueller investigation, it's interesting to me that getting lost, at least so far, in these confirmation hearings for Attorney General of the United States is all the things that we usually think of with respect to Attorney General of the United States. And think about how radical Jeff Sessions was in coming on things pertaining to immigration, things pertaining to sentencing, things pertaining to drug laws, things pertaining to oversight of local police departments that Sessions pulled back on after local police departments have been found by the federal government to be engaging in discriminatory practices. So many things that come under the purview of the United States Attorney General. Have they gone to any of those things yet in these hearings?
I am so glad you brought all of that up, Brian, because obviously it's crucial, and in a sense, it's another measure of what a strange presidency this is, that all we're focused on is the kind of basic upholding of the rule of law of the Attorney General and not all of these policy-setting functions that this person has. So one thing did come up. Chuck Grassley, who's a senator, a Republican from Iowa, asked about the recent bipartisan criminal justice reform measures that passed in Congress. Barr, in the past, has not been any kind of fan of lowering sentences. And so Grassley wanted to know if Barr was going to implement these changes. And Barr said, yes, he would. He did say one thing that I think a lot of proponents of criminal justice reform and reducing mass incarceration are going to find troubling, which was that he said he thinks that the tough on crime policies in the 80s and 90s are responsible for the drop in violent crime. There's a lot of evidence that there's only a very modest relationship between mass incarceration and crime going down. There are lots of other reasons to think that crime has dropped in the United States. And so from the point of view of people who want to reduce mass incarceration, it's discouraging to see the Attorney General buy into what is really just not upheld by the evidence.
And I'm going to be very interested to see how, as the hearing goes on, he talks about immigration detention, separation of families, those kinds of things. I mean, Jeff Sessions' position was basically, you don't want to be separated, don't come into the United States illegally. And as I mentioned before, oversight of local police departments, which Sessions pulled so far back on, while, you know, there had been increasing focus on, after Ferguson and things like that, systemic discrimination by police departments. So how long is the confirmation hearing expected to last? Do you think only today?
I think it'll either be only today or today and tomorrow. And because the Republicans have control of the Senate, that, you know, Barr will almost certainly be confirmed. And then you're right. I mean, immigration is a huge issue. Jeff Sessions had enormous influence over the Department of Homeland Security. And so, in a sense, his anti-immigrant attitudes were really like running enforcement in the country. And, you know, what Barr thinks about those things, we just know less about, and we just don't know what kind of role he's planning to play.
Emily Bazelon, staff writer for the New York Times Magazine, co-host of Slate's Political Gabfest podcast, and the Truman Capote Fellow for Creative Writing and Law at the Yale Law School. Thanks for following the Barr hearings in real time for us, Emily.
Thanks for talking about them with me.